Sehr gut, sehr gut, sehr gut.
Sehr gut?
Wieso Steuer ist sehr gut? Das sagen ganz viele.
Wer sagt das?
Stiftung Warentest, Computerbild, Focus Money, Chip, Finanztipp, such dir was aus.
Mega, aber das ist doch bestimmt kompliziert.
Nö, einfach Foto von der Lohnsteuerbescheinigung machen und fertig.
Klingt sehr gut.
Ist sehr gut. Mit Wieso Steuer? Bis zum 31. Juli abgeben.
Welcome back. It's another Bob and Tom Extra. This is Christopher. Not only is the Bob and Tom Show live every weekday morning, but every afternoon we'll give you a little extra in case you missed anything. On today's big show, game show host Mark Summers. You'll hear that coming up right after this.
Last thing a stupid redneck says before he dies.
What?
Hey, y'all, watch this! That's my people!
If you missed something yesterday, maybe you'll hear it now. This is Bob and Tom Extra.
There's Willie Griswold.
Good morning.
I'm still Chick McGee, and here's Tom.
Thank you very much.
And we have a special guest.
And we do. We have a surprise for our special guest, too.
Oh, my.
I've always wondered where Mark Summers.
Oh.
I've always wondered where Jonathan Winters.
Where Tom.
Nowhere anymore.
Fell.
Oh. Well, that's. Wow. It got cold in here fast. Mark Summers, I guess the best description, television personality, you know him from Double Dare and many other things.
He's an icon. Come
and I just thought of you a couple weeks ago.
Tell me why.
This is a see if you can guess.
Okay. It's going to have something to do with obsessive compulsive.
No, that's the thing. It didn't.
Oh, my.
I was reading a book about the Doors.
Oh, okay.
Is this giving you any kind of a hint?
No.
Okay.
I thought this was Mark Summers' dream you had where he's kissing you on your forehead.
No.
Yeah. Telling you everything's going to be okay.
Yeah, I'd rather hear that one.
I was reading.
Remember your big spoon?
The great guitarist for the Doors, Robbie Krieger, has a really good book called Set the Night on Fire.
It's unreadable.
And at one point, he talks about working with drummer Mike Berkowitz.
My brother.
Yeah. That's your brother.
That's right. My brother, who, when the Doors dissolved after Mr. Morrison decided to take things into his own hands in a bad way. They started a band called the Butts Band, and my brother was the drummer for the Butts Band.
And I saw his name. I know that guy.
Yeah.
Wow.
And he's got to be pissed. You got the hair gene. You've got like Elvis hair. And
yeah, it's insane. I don't know why that is. But,
he's the rock star. What happened?
I know. It's insane.
But your brother is a world-class drummer.
He is. When he was 15 years old, he was playing for Johnny Mathis and Henry Mancini. They would come and pick him up and put his drums in the back of this van and drive him to Chicago. And he would go up there and play gigs when he was 15, 16 years old.
Wow.
He was at the Playboy Club when he was like 17. In Chicago. I mean, he has stories. He was on the road with Liza for 10 years. Those stories, you got to have him on the show if he'll even talk about that stuff. And then he conducted for Marvin Hamlisch for about 10 years. And then when my brother got a better review than Marvin fired him.
Oh. And Marvin, by the way, is sleeping with Jonathan Winters.
Yeah, he is.
So,
in any event,
a weird thing to be reading about all of a sudden. Wait a minute. That's Mark Summers' brother.
I didn't know that existed. That book was around.
It's a great book. If you're a Doors fan.
Yeah.
I heard it's unreadable.
I heard. Now, Mark also, beside being well-known for his work in television, wrote a book that I read a few years back.
A few years? 1999 I wrote that.
Called Everything in Its Place.
Yeah.
I love the story.
It's a great book.
And it's a story about your struggles with OCD.
Yep.
Give me the short précis, if you will, of the book.
Well, what happened was I was hosting a talk show on Lifetime called Biggers and Summers, and we had a doctor on, a Dr. Eric Hollander. And when I was doing the research the night before, it was all about something called, I had never heard of it, obsessive compulsive disorder. And as I was doing the research, I went, oh, my God, I've been doing that. I do that. I do that. I think I have this thing. And so on national TV the next day, I sort of poured my guts out and said, I think I have this. And the next thing I know, I'm on Oprah and I'm everywhere, People Magazine, discussing this. And, you know, you and I have had these conversations. 20 years, I guess, we've been having these conversations, quite honestly. And I seem to be in much better shape than you, apparently, because I kind of don't do it anymore, but you're still kind of suffering with it.
I'm not suffering.
Do you see what Mark is politely saying to you here, Tom? It's when he comes on, he would just shut up about it.
There's a scene where you wake up in the middle of the night, your wife
Mark
comes.
Mark knows the scene. He wrote the book.
No, but I'm
quitting. I want you to know you're in a safe place, Tom.
Right. We like you, Tom. His wife comes out in the middle of the night. He's combing the hair on the bottom of the carpeting. It's he has a birthday party for his then young child, and he's stapling butcher paper to the walls.
Well, I wouldn't put staples. I taped it.
So of course, so they wouldn't get the fingerprints on the walls.
Oh yeah, absolutely. What's the wackiest thing you've done?
Oh, geez.
He hoards newspapers, but that's kind of
not
going
anymore.
Away.
I don't believe you.
I don't have. In
You've
fact,
you got him somewhere.
No, he's got stacks and stacks of iPads. And
you know, this is the first time I've been here with your son. Explain to me what it was like growing up in the house with that going on.
It was great because, you know, there was always clean towels because he did laundry 10 times a day.
Right. Got to do that.
There was always, you know, newspapers so we could do our art projects without making a mess. A lot of various safety goggles, Mark, for cooking bacon or for lighting off fireworks or for...
Just walking around the house.
Just walking around the house, just in case.
Did the gene transfer to you at all?
I mean, not at all.
Yeah, no.
Good.
But then, didn't you, one of your favorite games was taking the Pam spray food...
Oh, this is
the cooking spray. Yeah,
the cooking spray.
If you have a gas cooktop.
If you have a gas cooktop.
Which, by the way, I would highly recommend.
Of course.
What you do with little kids, and I still have several of them, you do this magic trick where you take your hand and you go boosh, and then you secretly spray the stuff with a nice open flame. It's the best.
You're encouraging people to do this in front of children.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Do you have set to them say on fire.
Boosh?
Yeah, you have to, or you can say abracadabra, whatever you want. Just to, they stop believing it at about age 5. But those first few years, it's really fun.
Oh, my. Unbelievable.
I don't mean to obsess about this obsessive compulsion.
No, that would never happen.
However,
yes, sir.
Mr. Godwin has taken the time and trouble. You can see him up on the big screen.
Oh!
I feel for those who have OCD, but I don't have OCD. I'm sorry for those with OCD, but I don't have OCD. One for the O, two for the C, three for the D, OCD. Won't you sing along with me in groups of three? OCD. Forming a line behind me. Don't bend your knees. OCD. Every fifth verse, change the key. OCD. OCD. Wash your hands. Be germ-free. Sing it twice. OCD. Did I lock that door? Go back and see. OCD. OCD. Is the oven on? It just might be. OCD, OCD, song is over on the second D. OCD, OCD.
Nice little tribute.
Very nice.
To obsessive compulsive disorder.
Could you do that 3 more times?
Jim Rome takes on sports.
I will always have a complicated relationship with this game, but people evolve. So do sports. Do not make me regret this. Do not make me devolve back to that guy that so many clones wish that I still was. And do not embarrass the entire country. Now, I can go back. I can get there fast. Lose tonight, and you got a real problem. Do not blow it.
The Jim Rome Show podcast.
You've been warned.
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
You are pretty much, you don't have any...
No, I always say I'm about 86% sure. I'll tell you what helped, believe it or not. COVID changed everything in everybody's lives. But when I realized I was sort of trapped and I could sort of contemplate my navel, you know, I moved up to the central coast of California and started taking walks. 5-mile walks every day is what I do. And it just kind of brought me down to a whole different space. And I do not obsess about that stuff anymore. It's interesting.
You don't have to end on an even step or...
No. I never had to do that stuff. I was never a light flipper or any of that kind of stuff. But mine was more about neatness and cleanliness and all that kind. But I really don't worry about it too much anymore.
I have a secret war going on with the janitor here.
Tell me.
When I get here in the morning...
Yeah.
You guys don't even know about this.
I do.
I don't know that I know about
There's
that.
A light switch by that door over there.
Yeah. Okay.
And one by that door over there.
Yeah.
I like that one to be the up one.
Yeah.
Not because of the light. But because you just want the switch up.
Yes. So I'll switch it and go to then undo the other one. I'm not sure if he knows we're having this battle, but I know that it's there.
Really? And if it doesn't happen, what do you think? Do you have intrusive thoughts?
No, nothing weird. I just have to go switch it around.
You don't think like, hey, the show won't go well if I don't do this?
No, because the show's gone very badly many times when it's that episode.
True.
Now, in Mark's book, and I'm going to get this, not get it quite right, but you would have to go to a specific window of a department store and read all of the little placards, or you couldn't get on an airplane.
Yeah, I couldn't get on an airplane, or I would translate it to, if my son's trying to get on a baseball team, he won't do well, or my daughter was in a play and she'd forget her lines. And so I took on all that weight, which was a royal pain in my rear end, having to take on all that responsibility. So,
And then one last one that I still remember from 20 years ago reading your book. I think it was one of your kids, wanted a hot dog.
Oh, no.
And I believe you were, I forget where you were.
I was living in New York, and I had an apartment.
In Philadelphia or something?
No, I was living in New York. That's when I was doing the Lifetime show and doing Food Network stuff. And I had an apartment that I'd never cooked in. And because I ate out all the time, and my son would come for a month and then go back to L.A., and then my daughter would come for a month and go back to L.A. And I said, what do you want to go out to dinner and do tonight? And she goes, I just want a hot dog. And I thought, well, okay, we'll go get hot dogs. She said, no, I want to do it at home. Well, I didn't have any, utensils or anything. So we went to Macy's and spent, $700 on, pots and pans. And, then bought hot dogs and buns and mustard and whatever else she wanted and potato chips. And I cooked in the house for the first time and did that. Never used the pots and pans ever again. But
Well, worth it.
Yeah. Oh, no question. That was the most expensive New York dinner I think I ever went to.
that is OCD.
As you walked to Macy's, how many hot dog stands did you pass?
Oh, yeah, thousands.
On the streets of Manhattan.
Well, the thing about the hot dog stands is Letterman used to say, they don't change the water until, the fall. So just unbelievable.
He is Mark Summers. And off the air, we were talking about this and that. And you have kind of like a different generations know you for different things.
It's so true. A Double Dare, I guess, is what got it all started. And then I moved over to the Food Network doing Unwrapped and exec producing Dinner and Restaurant Impossible. But I did a guest spot on a show called Workaholics. And that show just exploded. And a whole different group of humans, found me. And it just was fun. I mean, literally, I walked down the street and people go, hey, did you get to keep the bear suit? I mean, that's what I always ask.
What was the Workaholics thing?
Workaholics, it's a great show on Comedy Central with Adam Devine and Blake Anderson, these young comics out of L.A. Super funny.
Did you play yourself, Mark?
I played myself. Everything I've ever done. I've done voices on a million cartoons, and I always play myself because they know I can't act. So if I can't play myself, I'm screwed,
Cartoons?
Yeah, I've done a lot of voiceovers on a lot of cartoons. I started on Robot Chicken and have done a million episodes of that. And then I've done a couple of Nickelodeon cartoons. I was on, what's the other Seth MacFarlane show that I did?
Family Guy or American Dad?
No, keep going. Oh my gosh, I can't even believe I did it. Anyway, the one with the black couple.
The Cleveland show?
I did a Cleveland show where they did a whole thing about Cleveland not getting along with his dad because he screwed up the obstacle course. And so they redid the whole obstacle course, and I played me. So I got to tell you a story, but I have to be very careful about telling the story. So at the end, Cleveland can't get the flag, and I'm yelling, get the flag, get the flag, get the effing flag, okay? And I did the take like one time, two times, three. I did it like 17 times. And I finally said to Bruce in the booth, I said, can you give me some direction or something? Am I not doing it right? And he goes, oh, no, you got it like on the second take. It's just hysterical to hear you keep saying that word over and over.
Because you've been working clean your whole life.
My whole life, sure. I mean, when I started off at the Comedy Store in 76, I wasn't working, super dirty, but I was saying words that I guess most people wouldn't associate with me. And, Howie Mandel and Saget had that career where they expected one thing, and then they went to see him, and families would come, and then they'd walk out because they couldn't believe that Saget and Howie were doing what they were doing. But they've had these two different lives, and Bob got really insane towards the end.
Bob Saget, I remember Tim Allen, who had, before he was the Tim Allen, famous Tim Allen, would come through here doing stand up, and he was and is, I'm sure, a great stand up. Mm-hmm. But his act was brutally frank, if you will.
Absolutely.
Really? And he got famous as whatever it was, Tim the Tool Guy. And then he actually went out and played the sheds, the so-called, the big outdoor arenas, whatever you want to call them. And people were quite stunned because he had not written a new act for the clean guy. But I would highly recommend him as a stand-up.
Mm-hmm. Well, stand-up back in the day when I started in 76, I got there the same time, you know, Letterman, Leno, Robin Williams, we all started together. And then I got into doing warm-ups. And I was doing the warm-ups on a show called Soap. And next to me, because he hadn't really exploded yet, was Letterman doing the warm-ups on Barney Miller. And on the other side, Saget was doing the warm-ups on Bosom Buddies.
No kidding.
Yeah, and that's how we all got started.
Soap is one of my all-time favorite shows.
Explain what the warm-ups mean. What is that?
What we do is go out and get the audience sort of primed, because there's 300 warm bodies sitting in a room, and chances are they've never seen a live TV show recorded, and they think they're going to come in and watch it and be out the door in 25 minutes. Well, it takes hours to do these things, and your job is to keep them up and happy and laughing, and sometimes it gets very, very, very difficult. There was one story. I was a page at CBS Television City, and Norman Lear was producing a new show called Good Times, and Norman felt that the audience should be all black because it's a black show. And so normally you do a dress rehearsal at 4:30, and then it takes about an hour and 15 minutes, then you go and have dinner, the crew, and they get notes, and then they do an air show at 7:30. Well, we were supposed to do the dress rehearsal at 4:30, and people line up, you know, for 2 or 3 hours hoping to get better seats. And 4:30, we were supposed to shoot the show, nothing happened. 5 o'clock, nothing happened. 5:30, nothing happened. 6 o'clock, nothing happened. And Mr. Lear came out and said, "Come here, Mark." And I said, "Yes, sir." And he said, "We're not going to be able to do the dress rehearsal." So, and he handed me a wad of money, and he said, "Give everybody $20. Tell them to go out and have a dinner and come back for the 7:30. And I said, "Mr. Lear, can I say something?" He said, "What's that?" I said, "If we give everybody $20, they ain't coming back." And I gave people $20, and about a third of the audience came back, and he realized after the first episode, it's really not a black show, it's a show. And after that, we had everybody come. But, you know, the philosophy back then, 73, 74, was totally different. When you think of the chances he took, I remember going to the episodes where Maude was, you know, having an abortion, and, you know, the stuff that Archie used to say, and people were like stunned. Mm-hmm. But the funny thing, or odd or scary thing, is you probably couldn't do those shows today, you know?
Yeah, isn't
that everybody gets offended.
Right.
Our guest, Mark Summers. Television personalities. You said you started with Robin Williams and Letterman and all those guys.
76.
Did you know Dave from living in Indianapolis?
A little bit. I was working at a radio station, WBMP, in Elwood, Indiana, doing weekends 6 to 11. And I was 15 years old, and the guy who used to drive me up lost his job. And so I lost my ride, and I got fired, and Dave Letterman took my place. So that was, let's see, I was 15, so if anyone, like 66, 67.
Wow.
So he took my place there. And then we used to play racquetball together in in L.A. when we were at the Comedy Store. He was the most intense racquetball player. He and Jeff Altman were unbeatable.
Really?
They were the most intense players. I could not score a point off these guys. It was insane how good they were.
Wow. You
know? Yeah.
It's an obscure Dave Letterman fact.
Oh, yeah.
I did not know.
The most intense racquetball player I've ever been against. No question about it. Yeah. So I knew those guys. It's interesting that, I have all sorts of Letterman stories I could tell you, but the fact that I've kind of retired, and all I do now is kind of call people to go have lunch. And every Wednesday where I live, I ran into Dennis Miller. And every Wednesday, Dennis Miller and I go have lunch together. And it's the most fascinating time because he may be the smartest human being I've ever talked with in my life. I need like a thesaurus, a dictionary, an encyclopedia when I'm talking to him, because his frame of references most of the time go over my head. But it's so much fun to sit and have these conversations, because basically we just talk showbiz and comedy and stuff like that. I had lunch the other day. Rosie O'Donnell moved back to California, and I tracked her down. We went to lunch and sat there for 2.5 hours because I was doing the warm-ups on Star Search when she was a contestant on that show. That's how far back we go.
Cool.
And then we were on Win, Lose, or Draw all the time together. And so it's just weird that we're all freaking old now, and we kind of walk down memory lane. It's a ball.
Mark, here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to invite Dennis to lunch.
Yes.
And invite Rosie to lunch.
Yes.
Same place, and you don't show up.
That would be interesting, wouldn't it? That would be, and then we'll bring in Tom Selleck.
That's it for another Bob and Tom Show Extra. Catch us on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. For Bob and Tom Extra, this is Christopher. Take care, everybody.
The United States Soccer Federation presents the U.S. Soccer Podcast.
The place where I, Megan Klingenberg, a World Cup expert, teaches you everything that you need to know for this summer's World Cup.
How special is it that we've been able to follow this young group of guys?
It's been such a roller coaster of emotions.
You can feel the intensity.
Quite a bit of time, energy, effort, everything along the way on these guys making the country proud. And I think they will this summer.
The U.S. Soccer Podcast, presented by Henkel. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.